preaching in the name of Jesus once again. The one who said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where what? Where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Tonight, that lays a little bit of the foundation for my message, but first of all, you have to answer the question, what do children do? Who wants to answer this question? I had three verses, if you remember, had three verses up here, two from Proverbs and one from Ephesians. So what are children to do? Who wants to answer? Anybody look them up? Right there. Obey your parents, that's right. Was there something else in those verses? Parents is right, yes. Hear the instructions of the Father, very good. And there was one more kind of specific thing it had said. Do you remember what else it was? You're right. They're all about the same. But there's one there that I wanted to make sure we hit on a little bit. Well, the one verse says, forsake not the law of your mother. And I kind of thought that was interesting. Father's instruction, the law of the mother. Maybe? Anyway, think about that. But guess what the verse says? It says that children are to obey their parents. Now, do you do that? Is that like dad says do it? Yep, that's what we're going to do, right? Or, well, I'll say this to the parents. So recently somebody said that we now live in the day of wheelbar parents. I don't know what that was that they explained. A man gets in a wheelbar and children push him all around. The Bible says that's not the way to be. The children are supposed to obey the parents, not the parents obey the children. And It does feel that way sometimes that parents, and I'm probably getting to the age where I'll soon switch. I'm not sure because it happens and they always say the younger children get battle with more than the older children. I don't know if that's true or not. But I do know that I was at a fellowship meeting, ministers meeting some years ago, and the thing came up about, we were discussing numerous things, and one was sports, hobbies, sports, I don't know what it was. But anyway, we decided that the only sport the Mennonites really allowed was hunting. And there was a Mennonite bishop there. He wasn't from Pilgrim Day Star. He's from some other group. But anyway, he says, yeah, I think there's a lot of money wasted on hunting. I don't think people should hunt. But he said, you know, my boys like to hunt, and they kind of got me into it. And I was like, oh, you got in a wheelbar. That probably wasn't very respectful. He didn't know what to do with it either. But it's reality, and that is, if you don't think it's right, then you just join your children in it when they say it's a thing to do, or do you say, no, I'm not going to join you in it. I'm just going to stay on the ground. So for parents, the children are to obey the parents, not the parents to children. Don't forget that. Okay, for tomorrow night, I have a question that goes this way. What are children known by? So rather than what do our children to do? What are children known by? So you have to look up this one to answer this question. What are children known by? So it's again in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 11. It says, what children are known by? So you check that out for tomorrow night. Okay, right here's my songbook. I say I couldn't find a songbook where I was sitting, but right here it is. Oh, before we go to the songs, do we have two or three people who would like to say the memory work? Anybody prepared to say the memory work? Yes. Very good. You missed and touched not the unclean thing, but it was very good. The older you are, the more you can have wrong. Yes. Very good. I think you missed the touch not the unclean thing as well. Did she get it? Okay. I was trying to decide. I don't want to bring something missing something that did, but I thought there was something she missed. She get it right? Okay, then I'm not hearing well tonight. Somebody else. I'm going to scare everybody else from trying. One more volunteer on it? Yes. Very good. remember, wherefore, we need to come out from among and be separate from those who don't follow God. And then we can become his sons and daughters. Okay, let's have the theme song. And we won't sing all the verses again tonight because I realized that last night got a little late and I'm concerned about tonight. And my wife tells me when I know it's getting long, I just talk a little faster, and that's not always good. So she's not here, but I did remember her words of wisdom. And so we will try to not go so long with the song, and I'll try to shorten my sermon up somehow. So last night we sang verse 1. Let's sing verses 2, and I just like verse 5. So we're going to have to sing 2 and 5 both. So let's sing.
We praise thee, O God, for thy spin of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Alleluia, thine the glory. Alleluia, amen. Alleluia, thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Alleluia, thine the glory. Alleluia, amen. Alleluia, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Amen. Let the Lord do the open heart surgery, reviving us again. So for tonight, I titled the message. Maybe it's two titles, I'm not quite sure. But I call it Laying Up Treasures in Heaven. Or maybe you could call it Working in the Kingdom of God. I'm not quite sure. You could probably maybe you could have another title yet besides. But tonight I want to think a little bit about this. Are we laying up treasures in heaven, and how do we do this? So in the past, I'm going to start with a little story. In the past, I worked for a construction company. I worked for that company for probably 20 years. And that company I worked for provided everything we needed to build. So 20 years ago, we had the old style batteries and the big clumps of generators and cords we pulled everywhere, air hose we pulled everywhere. And as the years progressed, we got more modern, of course, because we wanted to stay productive. We had the man lifts that we needed. We had skid steers. We had telehandlers. They had all the equipment to get the job done. They had people hired into different positions of management, capable of whatever needed done. So they had everything set up. And I assume that, I don't know all the business in here, but I visited a print shop the other day, and it seemed kind of the same. You walked in there, they had all the printing equipment, they had the paper, and they had the things that folded all the envelopes, very fascinating for farmers and carpenters. And they had it all there. All the equipment was in place. They had the manpower there. I live there right now. I'm standing there beside that little mechanic shop. And you walk in the mechanic shop, they got the lifts. They got all the equipment they need. They have the nice doors they can roll down and see out through, but keeps the heat inside. Everything's there. So when we have these kind of situations, from a construction standpoint, when we had everybody in place and everything was ready to go and the job was sold and the owner of the company went out and told the customer, we will now provide you with a building, and he had everything in place, then it was built, right? Everything was in place, it was ready to go. So it was ready to go, but it wasn't built unless the men that were in their positions decided they were going to build. That's the only way anything got built. If they said, you know what, I don't feel like building today. And the boss left, and he said, you know, I don't feel like building today. As a matter of fact, I got a little shed in my house. Got a little project in my house I'd like to finish, and I could actually take this guy's tools, and we could just go down there, and I could actually build a pretty nice building down there. And actually, matter of fact, people driving down the road would actually see it, and they wouldn't know that I used all his stuff to build. They would actually think it was mine. They'd actually bring me some glory. And the same thing could happen in the automotive industry. You could say, well, you know what, the employees say, well, you know, I don't feel like working on that truck that I was supposed to work on today. I'm going to bring my own car in here. I'm going to jack it up, or truck, jack it up, put some tires on it, put some big pipes on it so we make some smoke. And he's got the tools, and I'm just going to use it for a little different than what he thought. Well, what would happen? Imagine the boss, Jeff or Jay, whoever's in control, they would come and say, you know what? This isn't working out. You aren't getting a reward. You aren't getting a paycheck. You're getting fired, and I'll find somebody else because I need somebody that does this. Same way it would be in the construction industry if that happened. If my employees had to do that to me, now that I'm an employer, I would look at them and say, well, this isn't going to work. Different job. Different. Something has to happen. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. We have a similar situation going on here. And I bring this message because it's I don't know this congregation well, and I'm not here saying y'all needed this message. I'm bringing this message because I need it in my own heart. And I believe in America, there's every so often we need to kind of like hit the reset. What are we actually here for? What are we doing with what we've been given, and are we building the right things? Are we doing our side jobs? And so tonight, bear with me as we go through this and try to examine our own hearts and think about what are we doing with what God has given us. So here in Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. He called his own servants, delivering them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Saying, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and thoughtful servant, thou knewest that I reaped where I sowed not, and gathered where I had not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him that hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Tonight, we're looking at this man, and I'm going to say this kingdom of heaven is as a man, and we're going to consider the man as God. And he has given in each one of your hands talents. Everyone here has a talent, okay? There is different opportunities, but he expects every one of us to get involved in his kingdom work. That's what he wants. He's provided what we need to get involved. And in this, just so we can think about a few of our opportunities, a few of the talents that we have, we live in a country where we can work for money. More money than it takes to stay alive. Some countries they can't, but in America so far you can make a decent living. We live in a country where food is plentiful. We live in a country where there's religious freedom. We live in a country where you can have a Bible, you can have 10 Bibles. And you can buy as many as you want and give them to all your neighbors. We live in an area of time where you can take, when we have communication, you can take your phone, you can communicate with people. And I'm fascinated by how technology works, that when my brother-in-law was in Belize, we could just send him a message. He could go down there and he could read it and see the same thing that we sent up here. That's amazing. We have that. We live in this time where we can get in a vehicle. And I just did this the other night. And you can drive 320 miles in about 5 hours. And you can go to church with a bunch of believers that you don't even know. Or you're learning to know, I guess. That's what we have. We live in a time we can get in an airplane and we can fly for half a day and be in another country. Completely different part of the world. And we can use these God-given resources, our time and our money and our communication and all the things we have, and we could take that and we could start to use it on our side jobs. Okay? We could build ourselves mansions and we could have nice landscaping. Amazing landscaping, hardscape patios. We could run top of the line pickups. They make Denalis and High Countries and Platinums, and I don't even know Dodge makes a nice truck, but you can have top of the line pickups, and we can run these things, and we can use the modern means of transportation. Whatever, we can get to all the business meetings on time. We can make sure we're there on time. We can get all the training so we can sell our products, and we can advertise correctly and get Haynes printed for us, and we can make stuff happen. We have enough money and enough clothing that we're going to need to wash once a week, and we can get the clothing all coordinated. Women probably more than this than me, but you get the clothing all coordinated right, that when you walk in the church, you have the right dress and the right sweater and the right shoes or boots or whatever, that it all, and people are like, wow, that's nice. It matches. And you can do that however many times however some people can. And at the end of the day, we can pray, and we lift our voices in prayer. And I'm just going to say, I'm throwing this out here because it's something we need to think about. We can lift our voice in prayer, and we can say, Lord, I thank you for the freedom we have. I thank you for everything you've given us and for all your blessings. And in Jesus' name, amen. And I wonder if God ever hears this silent, and I thank you that I'm not like everybody else. Does he hear that? And does God ever look down on we Americans? And I know I probably exaggerated the picture a little bit, but bear with me. You think God, and I've pondered this already, because I have two thoughts when I think about this. With God looking down and seeing everything, does he ever sigh and say, I gave him everything they needed to help build my kingdom, and they're getting a lot of side projects done? And I also think about how that down here on earth, and I know God can see right into everything, but it never ceases to amaze me when I get in an airplane and fly, and you look at the earth from up there, that, you know, you can't tell who's running the 1979 pickup that's rusted out and who's running the 2026 that's brand new. It just doesn't make that much difference up there. It just all looks the same. But down here, there's differences. So, how do we get this right? Can we get it right? Can we in 2026? Can we get it right where God can say, can we get our treasures laid up in the right place? And I'm going to suggest this evening that we can. Can we get it all just right? Probably not. But we can get some of it right. But it doesn't happen by accident. Okay. Good things in life take specific action. So you didn't get to church tonight because you stumbled out the door and somehow fell into your vehicle and you hit the key and it drove to church. No, you said, we're going to go to church at a certain time. We're going to get, and with intentional, with deliberate choices, you came to church. Okay, that's the same way most of us got married. You wanted a wife and you didn't just bump into somebody and you ended up marrying and it just all worked out. And it's, no, you make deliberate choices. So in life, good things that happen, right things that happen, we have to make deliberate choices. So tonight, when we're thinking about laying up treasures in heaven, thinking about building the kingdom, it's probably not going to happen if we just sit back and throw an autopilot and hope that something good comes out of our life. We're going to have to make an intentional effort to make it happen. So how do we get it right? Well, first of all, we need to understand that God owns everything. You turn to Psalm 24. David understood this. And I love this. I love this passage that he wrote, Psalm 24. He says this, and then I want to actually go to 1 Chronicles. Psalm 24 says this: the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. So David was acknowledging that the earth is the Lord's, but I like 1 Chronicles 29 is actually where I want to read. David wrote these words. It was over the time that they were, I believe they were preparing things for the temple. 1 Chronicles 29. Starting at verse 9. Then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly, because with a perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. So we have David standing up before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is what? Is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from thee. Thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? Because, the end of this verse, for all things come of thee, and of thy own have we given thee. So tonight, one of the best ways we can get this right when laying up treasures in heaven, building in the kingdom of heaven, and that is to understand that God owns everything, and everything we have is His. Therefore, the business that you manage, the business that you run, sometimes we say we own, isn't necessarily ours. It's God's. And recently it's been a year or so ago, I was at a little place in Belize, a little tourist attraction place, and I asked the man there, I said, do you own it? Because I assumed he owned the thing, and he looked at me and said, no, I don't own it. He said, God does. I just run it for him. And I liked it. He had his perspective right. He understood that what he had was something that God had gave him. And you know, sometimes people surprise you. I was in it a number of years ago. I was in Home Depot. And I walked in behind this fellow. And you know, maybe it's a West Virginia thing. Maybe they do it up here too. But you just roll the whole wad of cash up and put it in your pocket. And then when you need to pay for something, you pull out the whole wad. And I was standing behind this man in line. And he pulled out a whole wad of hundreds. And he was there flipping through these things. And he was peeling them out and laying them around the counter. And I just said to him, I said, wow. I said, you definitely ain't worried about hiding that. And he looked at me and says, no, why would I? He says, all God's anyway, you want it? And you know, it kind of made me almost ashamed, because I think if I had a pocket full of hundreds, I think I'd just pulled out the ones I needed rather than pouring them all out right there in the middle of the store. But he was like, yeah. And so there was another man that he understood that, guess what? It's all God's if you want to take it. And I said, no, I'm not going to take it from you. I don't steal paper from a blind man. But I mean, I'm surprised. And his concept is right. God owns everything. The second thing we need to understand tonight, and that is, we're all servants. We're not self-employed. So God has in this little Matthew 25. I should stay turned there. But we have the master that was going, said he's going to, he called together his servants, and he says, I think he called together all his servants. Doesn't say some of his servants. I believe he called together his servants and he gave each one of them. So tonight, if you're born again and you have claimed Jesus as the Lord and Christ of your life, and you said, I will serve you with my life, then you're a servant. And he's called all of us to get involved in his work somehow. And he's given each one of us a talent in order to do that. And tonight, I think that probably in this audience, and I think, maybe I have this thing too, let me try it down here. I think in this audience that there's many talents. Most of you, I believe, have more than one. And God has given us these talents, and He wants them to use it for His glory. But He also, in a group, there's also a different kinds of talents. And we talked about that a little bit with the cans last night, that everybody kind of has their place, But likely the resources and talents you've been given probably differs. It differs in this congregation. I'm sure in this congregation there's probably men here that own businesses. And then there's men here that work for those businesses, okay? And there's probably some here who own land, and maybe there's some here that rent land, and we all have these Maybe there's some here that have a fair amount of money, and some people who just, they can't wait till that next paycheck comes because you already have all the bills stacked up waiting on it. And you're just right there on the edge. And then we have wives here, we have mothers here, and we have school teachers, and there's ordained men, and there's unmarried men and unmarried women, and there's those who have lots to say and those who don't say very much, and there's those who are really outgoing and those who are shy, and that's just, each person has their place. But God needs all of these talents, and He wants us all to get involved in building the kingdom. So with these resources, with what He's given us, He wants us to build. Now, before we go into what we should be doing, I want to look a little wee bit at the mistakes that the man with the one talent did and what we shouldn't do, what not to do. So in verse 24 and 25, we have this man that says, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. And lo, there thou hast that is thine. So we have a man that was afraid to use what he had. This man didn't focus on what he was given and how to use to benefit people. He simply said, I'm scared with what I have. I'm scared to use it. Perhaps this man looked at the money that he had, never had that much money in his life, perhaps. Just going to throw a couple scenarios out here. And he's like, I just don't know what to do with the money. I'm afraid I might waste it. So he just stuck it in, he just sat on it. He didn't want to make sure he didn't use it the wrong place. Perhaps he had everything he needed to leave home and go serve, but he just didn't want to. It didn't feel like it was going to be in his comfort zone, and he wasn't sure where he would go, where he would serve, and so he just didn't do it. Perhaps he had all the means of communication, and yet he said, I'll probably just say the wrong thing. I don't know if anybody here like that or not. You know, some people, when something happens, they always have words of encouragement, and they have the right words, and some of us were just, I don't know, what would I say? Might be the wrong thing. So he didn't do that either. And he might have had extra time on his hand, but he thought, well, I don't even know what to do with my time. And so in the end, he ended up doing nothing. This evening, if you're afraid to use whatever you have, whatever these things you have, whether it's time, money, if you're afraid to use it, then you won't get it done right. We cannot let fear keep us from serving. Maybe this man felt like, so there was work involved. You know, there's work involved in any good thing that happens. The lights don't turn on in here if somebody doesn't turn them on. The floor doesn't get clean. If something good's going to happen, somebody has to work. That's what it is. Maybe this man was just scared to get his hands dirty. Perhaps he looked around and realized, too, that he had less opportunities than some people. He's, you know, there's other people that have more talents. They have more opportunities. Maybe he was a new employee, a new Christian. He just didn't totally understand what all was involved in the work. He couldn't see it. And he was scared. He didn't ask the right people to figure out what he needed to do. See a man here that was focused on himself, focused on a fear of failure. And tonight, if we focus on ourselves and what we're afraid we won't get done right, we probably won't get it done. It's probably going to just stop. The second thing I see here on what happened was, and that is, he did nothing. And tonight I want to suggest that doing nothing with the resources we have is not an option. We have to use what we have, whatever it may be, however small it may be, whatever it may be. We must get involved. I remember years ago when I worked for a construction company, we would hire young men to come work for us, and I would tell, I've told them numerous times, we'd be finishing up a project, and they, of course, were new, didn't quite know what they were doing, and you try to keep them busy, but at the end of the day, somebody was doing some of the skilled stuff, and they'd be standing. I'd say, don't just do nothing. Push a broom. Make it easy for the next person that's got to do something. Make the job look nice. Do something. And that's what this man should have done. Doing nothing wasn't an option. He should have at least done what he could have to help those who were involved. And as I read this story, I had to wonder, you know, sometimes we think, well, we don't have as many talents, and it must be nice to have all those things, and maybe it's nice to have the money, the extra property, the whatever. But when you read this little story here, it talks about the man that had 5 talents. And what did he do with those 5 talents? He made 5 more. You see, the more opportunities you have, the bigger maybe the business is, the more money maybe you have, suddenly you have lots and lots and lots more accountability. And I've pondered when I read this story, and that is, what if the man with 5 talents, whenever the Lord came back and he looked at him, and he says, well, You gave me five, but I gained four more. Would he have been any different than the one that had one talent and didn't gain anything? Because, see, he did not use. And I believe that God, when he pours out his blessings on us, he gives us lots of opportunities. The more opportunities we have, the more money we have, the more people we meet, the more we're responsible for those talents. It's like more talents in our hand. And God's saying, are you using the opportunities? And we need to be mindful of that in life. And that is, what are we doing with what we have? So the second thing I want to consider is how to use the resources we are given. Letter A. Focus on the opportunities you have and use them. Everyone has opportunities. They already said that. But don't dig a hole and bury your talent. Tell yourself that everyone can do something better than you. I know a lady that made the comment that, well, I would take them a meal, but I just don't feel like my meals are, you know, somebody else would make a better meal. Well, I've been in a couple homes in this congregation, and I've always had a good meal. So I don't know if any of these women say that or not, but it's not always true. And I think the woman that made that statement, I don't think she was saying the truth. It was just she was telling herself that, and she should have just taken the meal and went and said, this is what I have to offer. That would have been her talent. Tonight, we have several classes of people that's probably here. Perhaps you're a young person here that recently gave your heart to the Lord, and you say, what can I do? You know, I'm here. I'm still at home with my parents. But you can do things for the kingdom, and that is you can serve joyfully in the home, and your younger brothers and sisters can look up to you and say, that's what I want to be when I grow up. Perhaps you're here tonight in your late teens, early 20s. And in that age, there's lots of energy. And sometimes there's extra time and there's money that God gave you. And I'm just going to say tonight that there's a talent that you have and opportunities you have. And do more than just pour it on yourself. I know it's okay sometimes to have a hobby or so, but it concerns me that sometimes the extra money that young people are bringing in is just... It's just going out on the next trip, the next ATV, the next whatever it is, and it's fun and fun, and we can have more parties and more fun. And how much of it is going into the kingdom work? Any of it? Enough of it? When God looks down, does he say, there's someone that's laying up treasures in heaven, or is it, I've given him these things and it's being wasted? I mean, Cam is always looking for people. Right now, I saw in the bulletin that they're still begging men to go to CASP, and I don't know. Maybe it's not your opportunity. Maybe you aren't the right age, maybe. But if you aren't going to go and have never went, consider the reason. Is it because my own hobbies are, I don't have time, I don't have money? Just something to throw out there. Find ways that, if you have extra time, find ways to help those in need. I mean, we sometimes do that thing at our congregation. The young people go and cut firewood or whatever, and that's ways you can serve. You use your extra time for things like that. Show up at church when there's a work project. Pass out literature. There's a teach school. If you have ability to teach school and you have an interest in that, that's a wonderful way to serve. And you can call that a service. And I think sometimes our school teachers, we shouldn't look at that as voluntary service. But it is a wonderful way they can serve and bless the community, bless the kingdom. Perhaps you're a mother here tonight, and you think your time is mostly tending your children, earning money isn't your thing. And maybe you feel there's not much you can do. Well, to the mothers that are here tonight, your children are your kingdom-focused things. The children are the most important things in your life. And spend time with them. Teach them to sing. Sing songs about God. Teach them about nature. I like whenever children, some mothers are scared of thunderstorms, so it's hard to teach the children not to be scared if the mother's scared, but I love thunderstorms. I like to take the children out on the porch and say, look at the lightning, and that's the power of God. And that's an opportunity you mothers have with your children every day is to teach them those things. And when you go there to the doctor's office with your children, and if you have a number of children, like we would go to the doctors, my wife would go to the doctors with a number of children, and maybe they had an appointment for one, but took the rest of them along, and they would make comments about them. Well, point to God, and when they talk about how beautiful they are, you can say, made in the image of God, why wouldn't they be beautiful, right? So there's ways we can take our little things and our opportunities and bless others and bless the kingdom. I know it's nice, and I don't know how it is up here. I know it's nice to just go on Amazon and order your stuff and it comes flying to your door, but it's hard to witness to Amazon. So don't always shop online. You have to go to the store sometimes and meet that clerk that doesn't have a smile and give them a smile and give them something to cheer them up. And another thing you can do, and I actually do this with deliveries because we do use Amazon. I do get deliveries, but with me being more at home now, I see the delivery driver coming in the lane, if I'm at the house, and there's my wife's bacon or anything, I'll say, hey, I need a cookie or whatever, and I'll try to run out the door and give it to them. And they always smile. You know, they just like, they weren't expecting this. Just this week, my wife went at the house, and the FedEx driver came, and I thought, I got to be something. I looked around, and my wife had some pumpkin chip muffins laying on the counter. I thought, perfect. So when my wife got home, there was one missing. It wasn't because I ate it. I gave it to the FedEx driver. But you can do that, and you can actually make an impression in your community, make an impression in the people that's coming in and out of your door, simply by just sharing a little bit, taking the talent and the opportunities God gives you and use it. Maybe you like to sew, and I think sewing is a great thing, but maybe sew for more than just yourself. We have a sewing circle at our church. I don't know if you have a sewing circle up here or not. Have a sewing circle here? Nice. I think sewing circle is a wonderful thing. I think ladies should get together and they should sew together and fellowship together, and wonderful things. Sew more than just yourself. Sew and give to people. Some people like to cook, and I know there was bake, and I know there was one time some people got together and they baked some food and they gave it to the ministry. Well, I happened to be a recipient of it. It was wonderful. You don't have to just bless your preachers, but I will say if they like chocolate cake, make them a chocolate cake and put lots of icing on it. And that's one thing you can do if you like to cook. You know, you can use and you can just make all everything for yourself, and you can focus solely on me and what I want and what I wish people would do for me, or you can get your mind off yourself and you can just bless the people around you. And tonight we have opportunities to do that. Do that. Perhaps tonight you're a father sitting here, and that's what I know most what it's like to be a father. And perhaps you're on the father's side of the house and you don't really feel like you have the ability to lead songs. Not everybody can lead songs. Maybe you don't feel like you have the ability to have inspirational devotions. And you know the feeling that some people, they get up and they just have devotions and it just flows, and you sit there and think, I just can't do that. Maybe even teaching Sunday school is a chore, and at least you think it is. But you know, all those things are talents and people are talented different. But if you're a father here, you can simply bless the kingdom by there again, like the mothers. Being there beside your sons, being there beside your children, and teaching them what a good work ethic is. You can teach them what crucifying the flesh and saying no to things that are wrong. You can teach them a lot about life. And again, if you have a workplace, wherever it is, make sure you tell people about God and point them. I remember I was at a veterinarian clinic working. And a man come walking in there, and I said, how are you doing? I was an older man, and he looked up at the sky and says, God is good, I'm doing very well. And I just like that. And I'm thinking, can we just do that more in our own little ways as we go through life, to say, you know, and point people to God. It's wonderful. If nothing else, and you feel like that you aren't talented in a lot, every church has these little committees. They have outreach committees, and they have trustee committees. And if you need something done, you get a committee together, right? I don't know, but there's a lot of committees. And people need to serve on them. And if you're on the committee, serve in it. Put your energy into it and care about it. And make it, own it, I should say. You don't just, when there's three men on a committee and one man just comes and sits and has no input, get involved in it. That's what you're supposed to do. You're put on the committee, get involved in it. Throw your time and energy, use your talents in that way. Perhaps tonight you're here as a single person. It's not God's will for everyone to get married, but there's opportunities, and I've seen single people sit and pout about all the things that they wish they had that they didn't have, and I've seen single people that were able to bless people in areas where married folks can't. And it depends on where you take the focus. If you're focused on yourself and what you wish was in your life, or whether you focus on what you can do to bless others. There's always people that need listened to. There's stores that need somebody to work, and there's nursing homes. And I know there's some people are stuck at home taking care of their elderly parents, but that's also a blessing, and find fulfillment in that. Someday we'll be old. Tonight, maybe you're an old person, and you say, "Well, I'm old now. What do I do?" Well, I love, and I'm sorry, I'm going to say it again. I love old people because I was already young once. I know what that was like. But old people intrigue me because that's where I'm going to be someday, and I'm going to get to experience this maybe. But I like to hear old people encourage the younger people in a congregation. When somebody becomes a Christian, tell them that they made the right choice, and old people can do that, and they can tell people that. I know what it's like to go through this hardship, this temptation, whatever, and share with things that you've helped over the years that have helped you be successful in your commitment to Christ. And then I always like to, sometimes people complain about their aches and pains, and maybe when I'm old I will too, I don't know. But I hope that when I get old and I have aches and pains and people ask me how I'm doing, I can tell them that I'm looking forward to that new body. You see, the pain that we experience is in here on earth, but if old people can somehow help people to understand that this is just temporal, and someday, even though I'm in pain, someday I'm going to get a new body, and we can point people, use your talent. God has given me at least one. And how can we serve Him with it? Second thing I have here, and that is don't focus on the opportunities of others and what they should be doing. And I thought of Peter, you know, and we could go there, but I'm not going to take the time to go to First Peter, to John 21. We have Jesus there talking to Peter, and he says to Peter, "Lovest thou me more than these?" And Peter says, "Yeah." He says, "Feed my sheep." And he said it again, and he said, "Feed my sheep." And he said it the third time, and he said, "Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." And then he says, "Verily I say unto you, when thou art old, thou shalt stretch forth the hands, and others shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." He talked about the death that Peter was going to experience. And so Peter here is talking about Jesus, he's listening to Jesus, and he kind of turns around and he sees John standing back there, and he says, "What's he going to do?" Did you ever have that thought? I've done this and this and this, and what are they doing? Maybe that don't happen here. You know, you just got done giving this, sending this person a meal, and you just got done helping on this committee, and you just got done... What are they doing? And what did Jesus say? What's that matter? What's that matter to you? Just do what I asked you to do. And tonight, if we're going to be useful in the kingdom, we need to simply focus on what God has called us to do and quit saying, "Well, what about everyone else? It doesn't matter. That's not your problem at the end of life." The end of life, whenever the talents are tallied up, it's not what he did with his. It's what did you do with what your opportunities were. And so tonight, get focusing on other people, focus on yourself. And third and lastly here, learn to grow in the areas. Learn to grow in the areas that are your weak points. Maybe you don't think you can lead songs. Maybe you don't think you can have devotions. But we all had, most of us here that are fathers have had children, and do you remember the first day you got the bike for the child? And you took that bike out there and you said, "Son, ride the bike." "I can't ride." He gets on that thing and that thing's flipping around and he falls off and can't make that bike go, and so he shoves it away and says, "I'll never ride that thing." And you say, "No, you can practice, you can ride it, right? Okay?" And everyone can ride. So my tonight I want to encourage you, if you think you have a talent, if you think you're missing a talent, he said, "I can't cook, I can't sew, I can't teach Sunday school, I can't lead songs." Try it, because you'll find in life mostly people that try hard enough at things, they can get pretty good at it. And people ride ripsticks. I've never learned to ride a ripstick. My children ride them. They can play musical instruments, and they learn this stuff because they practice. Now, not every boy's going to ride a wheelie. Not every boy's going to ride a unicycle. But everybody can ride. So tonight, when you're asked to serve, whether it's leading songs, and probably if you lead songs and you aren't good at it, they probably quit asking you. Then you'll know that wasn't your talent. Okay? But a little bit of practice, you can get good at a lot of different things. And when you're asked to have a devotional, don't say, "I can't." Say, "Sure, I'll try it." And with practice, it gets better. Don't give up. Tonight, what are you doing with your energy? What are you doing with your talents? What are you doing with what God has given you? And are we able to turn our time and our effort and our money into kingdom things and quit spending it all on ourselves? To everyone that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Lord returns, what are we going to have to show in return for the resources he gave us? Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be. And maybe I could say where your heart is, there will your treasures be. And if your heart is in the right place, and your heart is intent on serving the Lord and building his kingdom and blessing those around you, you can make it happen. Tonight, I don't plan to give an invitation. I wanted to simply lay a little thing out and help us to think about where our energy is gone in the rest of this week, next week, this year, as God blesses you with whatever you're into, business-wise, family-wise. And every person you meet, try to touch them some way and point them to God, because in the end, that's what we're here for. We're here to bless people and make them aware that the world is so dark. And when I get around and I thought about that with the young people, especially young people can have a tremendous impact, because there's a lot of distraught, a lot of drugged young people, and the world is so dark. And when somebody sees a face that is peaceful and a face of joy, it raises question: where are these people about? What are they about? And when you bless them with, I actually like to take a plate of cookies to the bank. We have a little bank there that I go to quite frequently, about 2 miles from my house, and yeah, every so often I'll just take some cookies in there and give the tellers all cookies, and they know us all by name, know the children by name, and they'll actually send extra lollipops home if there went a certain amount of children in alone. They know how many children's at the house, and it's wonderful. And it's not because who we are, but I'm just here saying that look in your own community and think, and maybe you do all this stuff, and it's wonderful if you do, but how could I reach out, drop off some cookies at the fire station? Them people serve, they serve the communities, and so this week, this year, let's see if we can. And I'm reminding myself, when I preached this sermon and looked at that again, I thought, I need to continue to remind myself why I'm here. It's not here simply to build the business bigger and make money, and it's here to serve in God's kingdom. With that, let's stand for closing prayer.